Are we're already recording?
Well, I had turned it on. Because it doesn't cost anything, but we're recording now.
Recording now.
Welcome to Pretty Scary.
Pretty Scary Boo.
Pretty Scary Boo.
Carrie does it better than I do.
You're both great.
It's the one thing, though, that I'm good at, because she is good at many impersonations. This is the one thing that I have. This is the one thing that I have, Adam. Don't take it
this
away from me.
All I have.
All I have.
You do a great Carrie Martin.
She does. She does. And I don't.
Thank you.
I don't. I was never like the boo. Like I can't do it the way Carrie can do it.
It's a very interesting dismount when you do the boo right after.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So how's everyone been since we recorded last?
I'm good. I'm still riding high, I think.
How many days without an accident?
Oh my god. I don't want to say because I feel like
I'm not trying to jinx you. I'm not.
Cuz then
not
my dog got stung by a bee and then had an allergic reaction and her eyes swelled shut.
At first when he said stolen, I was like, "Wait, I've seen pictures where she's back."
No, it was.
So was it like a Patty Hearst thing?
No, it was actually a lot like First Blood. I went in there with a machine gun and I just stung. She got stung by a bee and her whole little face swelled up.
Oh, puppy.
Yeah, and it was awful because so a classic situation. So she gets stung by a bee on a walk and she's freaking out. So I'm carrying one little dog and walking the other little dog home.
Did you see the bee land on her?
She stuck her nose in like a pile of leaves.
That makes sense.
And then she shot back and I was like, "What's going on?" She was shaking her head and then I saw the fucking bee, which I stomped on with my boot.
Yes. Yeah.
With a lot of
you kill
vigor.
That you kill that bee for sure.
Yeah, so I my immediate thought was she's never been stung by a bee. I don't know what this means. Like, I don't know if she's allergic or
Caitlin
what's going to happen.
Is a mom where if her kid got pushed in the sandbox, she'd go over and probably punch the other kid in the face.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
No, I mean,
push him or her back down.
Yeah, all the while making my child feel safe and that everything that was happening was completely justified.
Right.
So basically, I ended up taking one dog under my arm and the other one, because I have two dogs. I have Rufus and Ripley. Ripley was the one that got stung. And I get in the house. I give her half a little Benadryl because I don't know.
The puppies love Benadryl.
They love Benadryl.
Look up, puppies.
So I just to give it a little, I wrapped it up in a nice little piece of turkey, like a good piece of turkey. So
nice.
She ate that, and then she just kind of wanted to be alone for a while, but I didn't know what was going to happen. So I went crazy, thank God. And I took her, I have a little igloo thing that she loves, and I put it on the couch, and I sat it next to me while I was working. And then like 20 minutes later, she comes out, she's like, her tail's wagging, and I'm like, okay, like, it's all right, you know?
Yeah.
And then about 20 minutes after that, she started losing her mind, like rubbing herself on everything like crazy. And I turned to my husband and I was like, I think she's having an allergic reaction. Now, my husband is definitely the balancing force in my life. I'm definitely the neurotic.
I would agree. Yeah.
I'm a very neurotic person. So the first moment that she got stung, I was like, she's going to die, you know?
Yeah.
But I did the Miles thing. I gave her Benadryl. But then when she started freaking out, my husband was like, "Well, what do you think is happening?" I said, "I think she's having an allergic reaction. We need to call the vet." And he said, "Well, what are her symptoms?" And then it was like both of us looked at her, and in the moment that he and I had been talking, when we turned back, her whole little body had swelled up. It was horrifying. So then we drive her to the vet, and the whole time she's going, "Ah." I mean, it was the saddest thing. But she was fine. But yeah, I mean, so no car accidents, but like my dog got beaten up by a bee and then
fucking bees.
Yeah, just not good.
Caitlin's life doesn't know drama lately. You don't have, okay, I was gonna say that my thing for the last couple weeks is you could see me in the back of the last Vanderpump Rules episode. Yeah, very different than your story. Like, yours come with high drama.
Well, don't reality shows come with high drama?
No. Okay. Well, this one was just, like, at the Hollywood Improv. I'm going to show you guys the picture, but I am in
Please
the back.
Do.
And we can post this if there's a place to post it.
Sure.
Here I am. In the back, behind the Vanderpump Rules people, just watching comedy.
That's
what is Vanderpump Rules?
What?
Don't what me. What? How am I supposed to
you
know?
Do you know?
I know what Vanderpump... Of course I do.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Vanderpump Rules is a show on Bravo.
Adam.
Vanderpump from the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Has a few restaurants. One of them is called Sir. And it started out, I believe, years ago where it was main focus on the restaurant. I wasn't really into it. Well, then it became more about the characters because most of the restaurateurs, but I don't know what you call them, the people who like work
you're doing
there,
great. You're doing great. Keep it going.
We're all sleeping together. Then they had drama because it was like Melrose Place where they're like swapping partners, but they didn't all know about it. Anyway,
it's, but it's okay because they're all attractive.
They're all very attractive, which does make it okay to
so
swap
partners.
So who
gets murdered and when? Oof. There's no murders?
Let's just add a yet to the end of that. We don't know the answer to that yet, Adam.
Okay. I'll tune in then.
But I will agree with Carrie in that her being in the background of Vanderpump Rules is very different than my dog having an allergic reaction to a bee sting.
Yeah, I guess now that I think about it.
She's not wrong.
I guess they are kind of different.
I mean, it's a yes and moment, but the reality of it is she's not wrong.
It's been my climax.
Good for you. That's good. No, I'm happy for you.
I mean, it's not. No, I knock on wood because I don't want the next thing that happens.
Listen, I don't want anybody.
Something monstrous or, you know.
No. I don't want anybody.
The nine people in whatever world you think rules the country.
The nine people.
And hunt me down and kill me.
The nine people,
no,
yeah.
The nine people have been fixating on me in some strange way here for a while, but I'm okay. I'm doing okay. I'm tired.
Why? It seemed like you were looking to me for like, am I doing okay?
Well, because I'm also thinking,
I guess. Yeah.
So you guys do look at each other a lot. It's like, well, it's like I'm the Cindy Brady of, oh, I'm actually the Jan Brady of this bunch.
George Glass. I was debating on whether or not I was going to, well, so my dad fell. This is the other thing that happens. My dad fell in such a way that he became partially paralyzed temporarily, thank God. But that's like another thing that's happened in the last,
it's
like
a big thing.
It's a pretty big thing.
But I mean, I'm just saying, like, it's just been, when people are asking, I'm just at a time in my life, I'm sure there are many people listening to the show that can understand this. I'm just at a time in my life where when people ask me, like, how are you? I have to actually think about whether or not I can answer this honestly or not.
Like, yeah.
Like, I'm just like, okay, who are you? What are you wearing? How do I know you? Are you somehow involved in my paycheck? Like, you know, or not. Like, you know, so, and actually I shouldn't, there are some people at work that have been incredibly supportive and wonderful, but it's
and
just
been
a crazy time.
And that was Caitlin's right around Christmas, maybe a little bit after. My Christmas, I think I told you I went to Atlanta.
Yeah.
And I don't think, do you have step parents?
I do not.
Okay.
It's a different breed, Carrie.
It really is. And they've been with me. Both of my parents got remarried when I was 15. So it's been 25 years. I don't know much of my step-parents still. I know my stepmom likes puzzles. And that when we're alone in a room, she does not like to speak to me.
Oh.
Those are the things I know. On my trip to Atlanta for Christmas, she did tell my dad that I drank a lot of her white wine. To which my dad said, I didn't realize you're going to drink that much. Or what about more? So the last night, for whatever reason, they got really weird about me like ordering movies on demand after they went to bed. So of course the last thing he said to me was like, don't order another movie on demand. So of course, like when they went to bed, I was like, fuck you, I'll order the $6 movie on demand. So I ordered Sully.
Yeah. Sully. All right.
Which is exactly what I need to watch right before I get into a flight, which I don't like taking.
What are you? Why are you so weird?
I'm an emotional masochist. It's weird.
You really are.
So I finished the white wine. I was like, no, she'll be mad if I open another bottle. So I saw my dad had a bottle of red open. So I poured myself a glass. And yes, I am walking back to the couch. Of course, I spill it all over cushion on their white couch.
Yeah.
And because I'm 40, I try for about 5 seconds to get it out. And I'm like, this isn't coming out. So I flip it over and don't tell anybody. If my dad notices first, I think he'll probably just go out and buy a whole new couch because he doesn't want me to get in trouble. If she notices, I'm 100% out of the will.
Wow. It's red wine?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I was in Reno flying back after dealing with my dad. My dad lives in Reno, which is the United States capital of like ex-husbands and ashtrays.
It is like the skin tag of Nevada.
Yeah, it's the skin tag of America. Like, it's pretty bad. I don't know if we have any listeners from Reno, but...
Sorry, if so.
They know I'm right, though.
Oh, like, yeah, for sure.
The way they handle it is they're like, oh, I'm there for the hiking. And it's like, you're out of your fucking mind.
You are not.
So the funniest thing that happened, I was telling Adam this before we started recording, actually. So we'd had a horrible week. I had spent 72 hours migrating between a casino and the intensive care unit of a hospital.
Right.
Those were my only exit. Oh, and it was flooding horribly. It was just like horrible, like historic storms, this kind of a thing, you know? And we were also staying at a hotel that was so smelly that I cried at one point.
Oh.
It was really bad. But anyway.
Like onion tears?
Yeah. The whole city smells like an onion bagel. Like it just is a whole, it's a weird, an ashy onion bagel. So we're leaving. We're in the terminal getting ready to go. And we had, pro tip, do not sign up to get text updates on your flight. And here's why. Because you get three text messages about your flight being delayed. And each time this happens, you're like, You're gonna cancel our flight, right? And then you walk up to the counter and they're like, no, ma'am, this is the most amazing airline in the world. We're never gonna cancel on you.
We're called Spirit.
Sure.
Yeah. And we're amazing.
Sidebar, how much do you care about the valuables that you've checked? So so there's no ashes in there, right? So we basically were like, okay, so we have time for like a really leisurely dinner, like in this weird hotel, like slash airport. So we go to go to this restaurant. I will never forget this. And the lady comes to the table and she says, you know, can I offer you a drink? I said, yeah, you know, I'll just get your house cab. And she goes, red wine? I said, yeah, it's a cab Bernet, you know. And she goes, okay, we have two sizes, small and large.
No, they do that a lot. And I always go for large.
So I said, yeah, I'll have a large wine. And then my husband was like, I guess make that two large wines. So she's like, okay, two large wines. And she like walks away. And then she comes back. Can I take your order? My husband says, yeah, can I have nachos? And then I order a turkey burger. She goes, okay. She comes back maybe 30 seconds later and says, oh, wait, I forgot. We're out of nachos.
What?
How are you guys?
So many ingredients that go into a nacho.
To me, both of us kind of launched into this like father of the bride hot dog bun situation where we're like, why? How are you? So my husband very calmly, he said, you're out of nachos. And she said, yes. And he goes, what part of the nachos are you out of? Is it the chips? Is it the cheese? And she's looking at him like, what is your fucking deal, man? Like, we're both at the end of our rope. She's like, well, I could go check. He's like, no, I don't want to. Never mind. I'll just order the flatbread. And she goes, okay. And he goes, so to clarify, you have mozzarella cheese here. And then our flight got canceled. And we were there one more night in Reno.
She texted me the first day she got there and they were going to have floods. And she goes, I might not get out. And I was like, I don't know what to do. You edit our podcast. Like, you've got all the equipment. I don't know. Do me and Adam have enough chemistry to do this podcast on our own? Do we get another?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I'm going to Skype in.
I don't know either. So what do we do? I'm thinking like the worst case scenarios. And then it was the last day when she goes, oh, of course, my flight got canceled. I can't leave here.
One more night at Circus, which was fun. The nicer version of where we were. Which, by the way, in case any of your loved ones gets in a horrible accident in Reno, they offer pretty steep discounts for people that are there for the hospital because it's right across the street from the hospital.
Oh.
So you were there for like 6 days?
I was there for 754 years.
I was going to say, in dog years, what is that?
I mean,
what are Reno years?
I don't know. I became everything in that time. I understood a new side of America at that. Seriously, though, I was like...
Did you understand Trump's America at that point?
It is Trump's America.
It was Trump's America.
It absolutely is Trump's America.
I don't know what they know, honestly, because all I saw, like, there was never any cars on the road. It was the most depressing. It was really sad. And then I looked it up, and it's the unemployment rate in Nevada is, like, insane. It's, like, 12% or something like that.
That's crazy.
And so you have a lot of these baby boomers that retired early, you know, and they just sit at these fucking things all day, smoking, losing it was the saddest thing.
Yeah, smoking.
It kind of sounds like my heaven.
Right? Yeah. No.
Like, I expect to be alone for most of my life. Like, just, don't bother me.
At least I'm
like smoking and drinking $3 Chardonnays and like some Camel Crushes and like putting 25 cents in.
No, Laughlin
maybe
is
winning, maybe losing enough to sustain me throughout the day.
Much better.
Then I go home and I reek of French fries and cigarettes on recycled air. I actually don't think I can do any worse.
There was a point where
that sounds like you're living the dream.
A lady offered me a drink because I was sitting at a slot machine, and I said, "Oh no, I'm okay." And she's, "Are you sure?" And I was like, I'll have a vodka tonic.
What if that's her way out?
Are it you is sure? No, take there's no way you out of Reno. It was like being stuck in like a kid's snow globe that they kept shaking. Like right? It was just, we're never getting out of here.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm fine.
How about you, Adam?
It's been very uneventful. I'm starting to really appreciate the co-host's stories from when they go out into the world and do things because I don't get to do that because I just edit podcasts all day.
Speaking of snow globes.
How many days are you influenza via food sober?
Yeah, I'm clean now. That was that was rough. It was only a couple days that I was sick, and then I bounced right back. Girl. Yeah, me and Angie both.
But yeah, you're just here, Adam.
Yeah, I'm just show up. People bring the world to me.
I almost felt like I needed to salute him.
And then
we
turn it into podcasts.
We brought a lot to you tonight already. We got Vanderpump Rules. We got Reno.
And we've barely even started this episode.
Semi-paralyzed dad. Bee stings.
Yeah.
And, you know, this episode's going to be a lot of fun because it's actually something that I feel like you could connect with, which is people that have had to construct their own reality at a certain point, Adam.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of what I'm doing.
Great parallel.
Isn't it weird that it's snowing in here?
Yeah,
strange.
Adam, he keeps so saying strange. That, but we're really grateful.
Why'd you bring your horse, Carrie? That was crazy.
You know where to park it outside, sir.
Oh.
We're going to cover a really fun topic tonight. Well, fun for us because we're not the victims of any of this, but
well, yeah, that's kind of the whole premise of
yeah. And I'll say in general, we're going to start with classics and then we're going to move into some new stuff that's kind of dumber and funnier. But the premise of this is the media made me do it,
right?
So people that one way or another fixated on a movie or a book. By the way, it's mostly movies.
So
guys.
Media made me do it, basically.
Yeah, there's one book in this so far.
Is there any?
Yeah.
Are there any records?
No, we didn't cover any records on this.
Because one. What was that one record? Was it Metallica or something? Where
are you talking about Helter Skelter?
I think where they played it backwards and the kids.
Oh,
like,
no, it was Judas Priest.
I almost said Judas Priest. I'm like, no, that's too highbrow for me. I'm going Metallica.
That was one
you
that.
You did great.
I had
thanks, Kaylin.
Put no on the.
You did the docket.
I had
if
put
you
on
will.
The docket, or no? I had just brought it up when we were
chatting about
chatting the about it, and I don't think it made it to the notes. But yeah, there was. I think
it's
was,
a good example. We can open with that one.
Yeah, it was the early '80s, and
during a cult panic.
Yeah, it was back when heavy metal was really being closely associated with Satanism. Mm-hmm. And the devil.
I mean, it is.
Which, you know, kind of their fault for putting the devil on all their album covers.
Yeah.
I guess.
I just want stab in the dark. Like, I'm just saying, it's not like they were posting, you know, in pictures in front of, you know, a church.
Yeah. And in this story, it was actually 1985. Two men in Nevada, of course.
What?
Nice segue.
Fuck.
18-year-old Raymond Belknap, who died at the scene, and 20-year-old James Vance, who maimed himself. How'd he maim himself? With a shotgun. They decided they were having a good day. They were, hanging out, drinking, listening to the priest.
The priest.
The JP.
Yeah, the old
rocking
the old JP.
And they think, hey, you know what would be fun?
What would be fun?
Let's go to the playground and shoot ourselves.
I've been pretty drunk before.
I got nothing going on. It's
and I've
Nevada.
Also taken a lot of drugs before.
I was in Nevada for 4 days. And honestly, after being in Reno, that song that Johnny Cash talks about, killing a man in Reno just to watch him die.
Oh, yeah.
If the guy was from Reno, I get the song completely.
It's interesting because I feel like I'm such a nice drunk / drug addict that it's like.
/ drunk.
How do you just go from like.
Because you're not insane.
Well, drugs and alcohol do make you insane.
Insane.
Especially when you couple them up.
Yeah, that happens. That happens a lot when you watch true crime with type things with people. And they're like, but why would that person? And it's like, because that person's crazy.
Well, that's,
you can't
that's the problem
work
with
work out their logic.
That's the problem mm-hmm. with just the general catch-all of don't do drugs. Because
yeah.
The issue is not. It's not the drug. It can't, like, look, a bad acid trip. I know a guy that was in Princeton, brilliant guy, did have a bad acid trip, and it fucked him up. Like,
yeah.
It ruined him
just
as a
one.
Person. Yeah, just, I mean, out of all the people I know, that did happen.
Right.
But out of all the people I know, it only happened once. And I think generally speaking, if you're prone to these kinds of weird mental illnesses, if you're doing drugs and drinking a lot, it's just going to make it worse.
Well, no, I actually think that on the contrary, it builds up your resistance and you actually become used to it. So just don't do it as a one-off. Just do it prolonged. That would be my advice.
So what you're assuming is these people that were super into the priest, this was the first time they had ever done any of the drugs.
Possibly.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, go ahead, Adam.
Yeah, I don't know. They were 18 and 20.
By the way, Adam has a shiny, pink, sparkly cell phone case.
I've had this forever. I love my phone case. They they decided to head to a local park and shoot themselves, and it turns out one of them wasn't very good at it.
How did they shoot themselves? Because that does matter.
With temple, a shotgun.
No, I understand, but like temple under the chin. Like, well, there's different ways you can do it.
I think the one who died must have either he was just a better shot and they both tried the same method, or he must have put the gun in his mouth. That was Raymond Belknap who died. But 20-year-old James Vance just maimed himself because he put the shotgun
under his chin,
right under his chin, and just kind of blew the front of his face off.
Yeah, that's the least one. If you're going to kill yourself, it's the least one that's going to work.
Yeah,
I do know that.
Don't do it that way.
Because I've watched so much true crime, I've seen people who have like no jaw, but then they are in court and they're like just like an upper lip.
Yeah.
And that's it.
All I'm imagining is the death DMV at Beetlejuice. That's like all I'm seeing when you're talking about any of this. But yeah, I mean, good thing we have an expert here like Carrie to talk about how to not kill yourself today.
I think it's important. How to best shoot yourself.
No, she's here. Listen, if you're going to do it, if you're going to be a bear, as Carrie says, be a grizzly, get it right. Just get it right.
We're going to do a whole episode on best suicide practices.
We can.
Like us giving out kill kits. I'm starting to get cautious about this. And I thought about that when I brought up that is the least effective way. I'm just saying it is the least effective way. The other least effective way to kill yourself is if you're going to slash your wrist, don't do it vertically. No,
that's a classic.
Do it horizontally.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're gonna do it, mean
it.
Or
don't waste my time. One's a call for attention.
So... Right. More
suicide suggestion.
What I will say that's more interesting, though, is in light of all the other cases that we're going to cover, none of these people were suicidal.
Except these two.
Those two were.
Yeah,
but
they were.
But so what they said was that listening to Judas Priest drove them to this
listening
space emotionally.
Subliminal messages in Judas Priest songs. And I've actually seen there's footage of the trial out there. And there's this clip where they play this Judas Priest song backwards, and the prosecutor is like, there, you hear it? It says, do it. And it's like, they could mean, you know, watch more TV, exercise more. They could have meant anything.
Do it. Get good grades.
Ask her out.
Yeah.
Do it.
Do it.
Ask him out.
Carpe diem, dude.
Do it.
Ask her to prom.
Yeah.
Start that stock weird day trading business you've been thinking about.
Do it.
Be the guy who never leaves the house. Just do it. Adam, just do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Kill Jeff May.
Whoa.
The past 45 seconds brought to you by Fitvine. Fitvine. They crush grapes. You crush life. Hashtag do it.
Do it.
By the way, I feel like if you just get a hashtag do it, that's like the saddest knockoff hashtag in the world.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Wasn't that a Bo Jackson?
That was just
Nike.
Do it.
Just do it is Nike.
Oh, my
do
apologies.
Do it is ours.
All right.
Now. Yeah. It's ours now.
Do it.
That's just
not under
we're
the
just going to hashtag
and
everything.
Do it vertically.
With do it.
Do it. All right. Speaking of doing it.
So they did it. They shot themselves.
Mad, which
and links then they
to Nancy Reagan, which links.
Well, they sued Judas Priest. We did that. That was.
Oh,
they said bad. They said Judas Priest songs.
So I actually don't know this because I didn't put this on the notes. So did they successfully sue Judas Priest?
No. There were actually concurrent lawsuits at the time with Judas Priest and Ozzy Osbourne because he had a song called "Suicide Solution."
Right.
Well, he was crazy.
Yeah, Ozzy Osbourne's crazy and a little overrated, but that's a different podcast.
But
really overrated.
Yeah.
During that period was during the period where he bit the head off a chicken or something, right?
A pigeon.
Or a I think it might have been a little after that. This was the 80s.
Okay.
But yeah. So yeah, that was one of the the early cases, I guess, of that. Well, not really, because like
no, because like so let's go back in time to John Hinckley Jr. And this other case that follows is similar in timeline. So John Hinckley Jr., a cinephile. We'll call him a cinephile.
He liked the movies.
He liked The Taxi Driver a whole lot, you guys.
It's a good film.
And I feel like this line of crazy person thinking takes a bigger leap than any of the other ones that we're about to cover. Because there's a rabbit trail that he goes on in how he decides to manifest his obsession that is confusing to me. So he ends up watching The Taxi Driver a lot. Now, I can connect with this on some level because I will watch a movie over and over and over again.
Yeah.
I really will. As far as it driving me to do things other than to, you know, like hate my body or something, I don't know that it does that. What he took from this was a deep love of the child prostitute character of Jodie Foster. So there's our first problem.
Yeah, that's a huge red flag.
I mean, he fell in love with the child prostitute in The Taxi Driver. Now, listen, Jodie Foster leaves it all in the court. Great performance.
Great performance.
There's a reason why she became Clarice Starling, who is my hero. But he can't really break through. Now, Jodie Foster enrolls at Yale. She's an incredibly smart person. So she goes to school. Yale, though, their night class admission policies, not as tight as the general four-year degree process, guys. Because John Hinckley Jr. actually enrolls in a creative writing class to try to get closer to Jodie Foster.
Just enroll in creative writing at Yale?
Oh, man.
Apparently.
Things were crazy. All right. Then. Yeah. Weirdly, she did not respond to this.
Oh.
She didn't take this as a romantic gesture. It wasn't romantic enough, Adam.
What a bitch.
So so instead of...
She's a lesbian though, right?
Oh, yeah. That must explain it.
That must explain why. Yeah, no, you're right. That was the
Wiring's all messed up.
No, the rest of us would have been falling all over ourselves. So old Hinklebottom decides that he's got to create a grand gesture to show his real love for Jodie Foster. So clearly the plan at that point is to kill President Reagan.
Right.
That's how he says. Now, there's that book Love Languages, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
The seven love languages.
Another five.
Is it just five?
Not since they added murder.
Oh, you're right. It is five.
Yeah, well, seven is murder.
Technically, that's assassination.
Murder, suicide.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he flat out just basically says that, you know, he deserves this love from Jodie Foster because of The Taxi Driver, and that drives him to attempt to kill President Reagan at the time.
Yeah.
That was his MO. The movie inspired his love. His love inspired him to do this weird thing. So I just think that is a very weird progression of emotion.
Yeah,
Lots of people kill for love.
Have they ever explained what it was about killing Reagan that he thought would appeal to Jodie Foster?
What do you want me to say that on the internet that's forever, Adam?
I go back to Mad with Nancy Reagan heading the helm there, and that ties into Ronald Reagan, and that ties into this Hinckley guy.
Good job, Carrie.
You did it, Carrie.
Should be in the FBI, you guys.
Yeah.
Not me. It should be Carrie. Carrie's whole mind is like one of those like string, like cork boards with the red strings drawing. So it's like Nancy Reagan, and then Mad, and then boom.
And then I solve cases.
Yeah, you solve it.
You do.
Yeah.
Again, anybody out there who might have somebody in prison that are looking to get exonerated, just DM me. You can find me on Facebook, Carrie Martin. I'm pretty sure I'm almost at the max of my Facebook friends, but you can also Carrie Martin 22 on Instagram, Carrie Martin 722 on Twitter.
Good job, Carrie.
That's what this show needed.
No, I mean, that really brought the mood up. That was good. Okay, moving on. So the next one we have, the next progression in The Media Made Me Do It is Mark David Chapman. Most people know Mark. I've actually mixed this up a little bit, so you're going to have to. Anyway, it doesn't matter. You'll see. You're a smart guy.
Mark David Chapman. Okay, that guy, God, what's it? 30 Seconds to Mars. What's his name?
Jared Leto.
Yeah, very hot, but gained a lot of weight for this role. And I'll be honest, not as attractive.
Are you talking about the Lindsay Lohan movie that he did, he did, where he played Mark David Chapman?
Yes.
I never saw it.
I don't think I ever saw it either.
But there is a Jared Leto tie later in this as well, which is interesting. Conspiracy? Oh, I think so. So Mark David Chapman, everybody knows about this guy on some level. He's the man that assassinated John Lennon.
John Lennon.
I don't sit around. Assassinations are not my favorite. I love true crime, but assassinations for me usually
when they
are
involve
not
a gun, it's kind of boring.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But one of the things that I didn't realize about this case that I found interesting was that Mark David Chapman, becomes obsessed with Catcher in the Rye, which is the J.D. Salinger book that everybody was forced to read in their junior year of high school. Everybody on some level has read some portion of this book.
Yeah.
Or the short story, A Good Day for Banana Fish. But anyway, one of the things that he gets attached to is that Holden Caulfield is big on phonies.
Right.
So anybody that was a phony, gets kind of pathetically called out in the book. The book is not about him succeeding in this quest, by the way.
No.
So I find that this is a weird...
It's kind of a bullshit book.
That's kind of what I'm saying, is that I don't understand how this is the thing that he fixated on, but then again, he's crazy, so there's that.
Right, right.
But I don't want to say I love, but I am fascinated by the fact that he identified John Lennon as a phony.
Yeah, that is kind of cool, because John Lennon was a real piece of shit.
He was a phony.
He was absolutely a phony.
Yeah, he beat his wife, and he...
Wait, what?
Lennon was not a nice person.
He was all about peace.
He beat his wife. He cheated on his wife.
He beat Yoko?
It wasn't just that, though. He was just a son of a bitch. Like, he was just not a nice guy.
And I always hated that in Imagine, he says, "Imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can." It's like, bitch, you're in a $1 million apartment sitting by the most beautiful piano I've ever seen.
Yeah.
How about you sell some shit?
Yeah, maybe quick your primal screaming and give me a chance.
That fucking guy.
Yeah, that I'm guy. Not. I
did not know this. This I'm a is
George,
interesting.
I'm a George Harrison person.
Oh, yeah,
that's
for
my
sure.
Beatle. Really? I love George Harrison. I love Paul McCartney, too.
I love George Harrison, and I love Ringo. Ringo's got a lot of really great solo albums that people sleep on.
I'm fine with Ringo. I like George Harrison. Oh, I love Give Me Love is like one of just such a pretty song. Mm-hmm. Anyway, back to this. I just find it interesting that at the end of the day, John Lennon ended up getting killed for being John Lennon.
Yeah, kind of.
Like, I mean, I don't want to be shitty, but that's just kind of what this is. I had no idea that Mark David Chapman had just been like, you're a phony, you're a fucking phony, and then shot him. Like, I didn't know that's what this was.
It could have been the government, though, because that's one of the things I...
Sure.
With the Catcher in the Rye, one of the conspiracy theories behind that book, because it shows up in a lot of assassinations or really weird murders.
There is we could do a whole other episode on Catcher in the Rye and this weird... like algorithmic quality that the book has to people who are insane.
Yeah.
But Holden Caulfield is a young man in an insane asylum. That's a whole book. He's talking to his therapist. He has mental illness.
Yeah.
So that's like saying that you're going to read a Stephen King book. That's why I don't buy it, because there's so many books about mental illness told from an unreliable narrative. He's crazy. It was a popular book.
Yeah, he's a crazy person. But the thing about conspiracy theories, like especially this one, because not just this one, but like if you go back and look, there was a weird rash of assassinations in the United States that started with Kennedy in 1963. And then for a couple decades there, everyone was getting fucking assassinated. Like we tried to fucking assassinate Ford. Martin Luther King Jr. got assassinated. Bobby Kennedy got assassinated. They tried to assassinate Reagan.
Plane hijackings, too.
Yeah, plane hijackings used to be huge. We did that on another...
Yeah, but that to me, when I hear that, what I hear there is that the focus has shifted to spree killings.
But they weren't spree killings.
No,
they were
targeted killings. The goal to be seen and known for, quote-unquote, accomplishing something here in America... I don't know. So you're saying why...
But the component behind all of these conspiracy theories is that the government has been working on mind control experiments.
So we're talking about MKUltra.
Yeah.
That's the conversation we're having.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. All right.
Like MKUltra, like the attempt to create a Manchurian candidate, basically.
Sure.
Well, like Sirhan. He was interviewed by psychologists years after he committed that crime. And there were people who came out and who were like, yeah, he was in a trance when he did that. Like there something else is going on. And what really drives me insane about conspiracies like this is you'll say, what if it was part of that government experiment that went on for, because the MK Ultra went on for decades. It started in the 50s.
Yeah, but it affected, I think the real victims of that are the kids that were stuck with the MK Ultra shit.
Well, it affected, it was such a widespread program.
No, you're right, but I just feel worst. I just picked a team.
Yeah, it sucks for the kids, but it also, yeah. Like, if there were, like, people going around assassinating people because of this program, it sucks for the people who got assassinated.
But what's the difference between the army, honestly, what's the difference between training people to kill people and really training people to kill people? That's what I don't get about the MK Ultra.
Because, Blood Diamonds.
Because if you sent an assassin to kill John Lennon, there's people who are familiar enough with just killings and that whole world who would immediately go, yeah, he was assassinated. Like, that's obviously okay. A planned hit.
So this
hit.
Was a Jason Bourne
but
guy.
But if the government wants to kill somebody and do it in the least conspicuous manner possible, you just send a lone nut to go do it. And then you can just forever be like, yeah, it was just some crazy person who killed
sure.
him.
Yeah.
And with Reagan coming into office at the time, which was going to be a radical change as far as...
So now we're talking about Hinckley again, yeah.
No, we're still talking about John Lennon.
I guess so, yeah.
With Reagan coming into office, right. If any entertainer at the time was going to rally millions of people at once against Reagan, it probably would have been John Lennon. Like, people still love... People were devastated when John Lennon died, and he was super political. So if the government was going to... It makes sense that if the government was going to kill an entertainer, it would be John Lennon. But what bothers me about these conspiracies is people will be like, that's so crazy, the government would never do it. There's documents. Like, this isn't like a rumored program that might have existed at some point. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and pages of documents about MK Ultra and all the hospitals it was performed at, the doctors that were involved. This was a massive government program that went on for decades.
Yes.
And then they were just correct. Like, okay, we're done. But you know they weren't done. Like, you know those experiments still happen today.
Yeah, I mean,
are we more trusting of the CIA now? I don't think so.
I just think that I don't have a problem with the concept that MK Ultra is something that's real and something that we've... This is the conversation I feel like you and I always come back to with this kind of thing. It's kind of that old adage, like, I don't want to belong to a club that wants me as a member. And by that, I mean, like, if I know about something, if Caitlin knows about something, it's not one of the things that I really want to know about.
Yeah.
Like, I'm the litmus test of, if something's cool, I'm the last person to find out about it. And I'm the first person before they become really big and not cool anymore. So that transition between the Beatles becoming, you know, amazing. And then their that whole culture being co-opted. I'm right there. Like, right there in the middle. You know, like, I'm not the person that loses their shit over John Lennon dying, but I'm like, oh, wow. Like,
yeah.
You know, so my point is that with everything happening, there's just too many other things happening around John Lennon and things happening in America for me to really buy that he was that dangerous.
The FBI followed him for years.
I know that, but
we need to remember that most of these murderers have some sort of psychiatric issue.
Oh, well, yeah.
But that's technically the... It's endless. I mean, you can't prove a negative.
Right.
You know
reading
what I mean?
Right here, Chapman believed that Holden Caulfield would have killed Lennon. I look at the picture for Lennon and say, you phony, I'm going to get you. And then I would pray for demons to enter my body to give me strength to pull the gun out.
I'm going
to
get you, Lennon.
I'm going to get you.
I really like Catcher in the Rye.
It's a good book.
I didn't like it.
I like Franny and Zoe more.
What?
I really love Franny and Zoe.
I like that it's a light read.
Yeah, I mean, it's an easy read. Well, you got to plan all those assassinations while you're reading it. You don't want.
Yeah, it's like 190 pages or something like that. Just zip right through it. With the Babysitter's
Club.
The ducks are important.
Ducks,
okay, got it.
Fucking ducks.
He leaves his
Sweet Valley High.
There's a prostitute. Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, Catcher in the Rye.
Let's go kill somebody.
MK Ultra. Anyway,
but yeah, that's just my point. Is that it's a program that's verified to have existed.
Absolutely. I mean, MK Ultra. I guess maybe that my hesitation is that to boil it down to simply manifesting in the assassination of John Lennon. Like, there are probably way more scary X-Files-y shit connected to MK Ultra that we that would be more interesting than this.
Yeah, but that's,
which is also not really a statement, I guess, but
yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that this is the coolest thing about MK Ultra. It was rad as shit. We really accomplished a lot as a country.
Oh, sure.
During MK Ultra. But this is, it's more, my point is more just that it's a theory that people are really dismissive of, even though there's at least some evidence pointing to the fact that it could have happened. Like, those experiments happened, and would they have carried on with them for 20 years if none of it was working?
Or if none of it wasn't worth monitoring.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the more important thing to think about. Like, and maybe they know they opened Pandora's box with certain things and they couldn't.
Yeah.
That's why I love all of, like, Videodrome and, like, what's that great one with fucking Jeff Daniels? I can't think of it right now.
Oh, Dumb and Dumber.
Harry, Newsroom. I took care of it. Oh, fuck Newsroom. All up its ass. I fucking hate that show.
Yeah, that show was garbage.
I watched, like, a stupid, like, sizzle reel for it. And fucking Olivia Munn, which, by the way, can just go suck all of the bags of dicks in all of
them. Really? Yeah. That bad?
She's a piece of shit. And here's why. She's so boring. I'm sure she's nice. But the point is that it's like a 5-second thing where she's like, so I was on the set of the Newsroom and I'm really cool because I'm Olivia Munn and I'm like really laid back, even though I'm super hot and you know that and I know that, but I don't really act like that. But anyway, I'm Olivia Munn. And I was like talking too fast for this Aaron Sorkin script. And Aaron Sorkin was like, I need you to slow down. And I was like, I'm sorry. Did I just out Sorkin? Sorkin? I almost threw something at my TV. I was like, I'm poor, so I can't afford to hate you the way I need to right now, Olivia Munn. So walk away from my TV.
But someday.
My husband, we were dating at the time. He was in the other end of our tiny apartment. He went, it was just done. I was like, that's it. I'm done with Olivia Munn. Done with Munn.
Done with Munn.
I'm not done with Munn.
Hashtag do it.
I mean, she's probably really nice. But anyway, okay, moving on to another case. Carrie, you're going to like this one. And we're actually going to cover the documentary on White Wine True Crime because it's coming out. I think it's on
Slenderman?
The 23rd on HBO is the Slenderman murders.
When you say I like this was creepy. I will say I don't like the murder itself. It is a very interesting story.
No. I like it because it is this perfect, like, hotbed of millennial panic. Like, this is this is like the kind of thing where the old people now have officially, they're like, holy shit, not only is this a video game thing, this is like so far from our understanding. We have to learn about this thing to even know what these girls did.
This was 2.5 years ago, by the way.
Yeah.
And I had never heard of the Slender Man before I saw this. And it was either 48 Hours or Dateline. Yeah. Did you guys see that episode on 48 Hours
or Dateline? I knew about it because I have brothers that are a lot younger than me.
I'm sure this will be such a great documentary. But just watching it on that 1 hour TV special, I was like,
this is so fucked up.
It's so fucked up.
There's so many things. Yes. Okay, so give us the scoop, Carrie, the overall.
Do you want me to read it?
No, you can. I mean, you know the case. You can just talk about it.
Do I?
Yeah, you do. Are the notes making you feel like you don't know the case?
Kind of. The Slender Man's stabbing occurred on Saturday, May 31st, 2014 in Wisconsin, a suburb, whatever.
okay, either read them or don't read them. But
yeah, don't mumble them incoherently.
What?
You were dare this was you. This was you. Yeah, the Slender Man, something in Wisconsin, these girls. I don't know.
Okay, so what I know is you got this. There were three 12-year-old girls who apparently had this fixation on the Slender Man.
Right.
Who was like an urban legend.
Yeah,
and tall, thin Slender Man.
He was a slender man.
Who lived in the woods.
Yeah.
And I believe the thing was like you had to go out there, like they were trying to find him or pay him homage.
Yes.
Okay, so three best friends, which I will have you know, in any
never do the three.
Three best friends never ever were.
Not with girls.
Not with girls. Probably with guys, not with girls.
No, there's always one. This is the thing that I love about this case is that on top of it being like the media made me do it, it's this weird proof of concept that every young woman, and I can't speak for young men because I'm not a guy, but every young woman knows this dynamic. This is the realest dynamic. There's the alpha chick, there's the beta chick, and then there's the chick that ends up getting cut. Like, it's
C.
Just...
She's called C.
She's C. That's just what it. I was C every time.
So oh. They... That's okay. Really? So yeah. You would have been the one in this case.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so no, I think you would have been the alpha.
No.
I feel like I would have been the beta.
In this... Now,
you would have been our C.
An adult...
Adam. I'd be the C.
In oh. Our adult... In our adult life, you're right. But as a young girl, I was always on the outside. Always.
So they went into the woods to find Slender Man, and all of a sudden, Alpha and Beta turn around and start stabbing C to the point that they think she's dead. And then they go out, and they're like walking around with like probably Barbie doll backpacks on the road. And somebody's like, what are you doing? And they're like, oh, we're looking for Slender Man. Who finds the girl in the woods?
It's a guy driving. I mean, it's like a fucking horror movie. Like, it's literally
she is
like...
stabbed how many times?
I don't... It's a lot. It's,
It's to the 19. Point...
19. 19
It's to
times.
The point where... I mean, any of those could have been fatal.
Mm-hmm.
So she lives. And the whole time, because now she's alive and she can reenact her statement, she was like... I was like, no, no. What are you doing? Please stop. And her parents are just like, oh my God, like my girl, like this happened to her. She was trying to defend her life and she's still alive. It's one thing to still be alive, but it's another dynamic because everything is so escalated when you're in junior high, college, elementary, whatever. Everything is like, so to feel like somebody doesn't like you and that they would try to stab you.
I mean,
like,
it takes stabbing you in the back to this like weird literal level as a teenage girl.
I could see me in my journal being like, I wish I would have died. Like, oh my God, they try to stab me. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's the ultimate form of bullying. The thing that I think that Carrie will hook on to for sure is the two girls at the time, so the two perpetrators basically, believed that the Slender Man was real and they wanted to become his proxies.
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 Or followers. So basically they sacrificed C to become like more Slender Man, whatever. But the thing that's also really interesting about this case that 48 Hours kind of got into, but it's starting to come out. I'm really excited about the documentary because I want to know if they explore this more. But it really was like an alpha beta situation. It really reminds me of Beautiful Creatures. Did you ever see that? Or Heavenly Creatures?
Also Mean Girls.
I have not seen that.
Heavenly Creatures was one of Kate Winslet's first movies. And it's based on a real case in England where these two girls formed a really intense friendship.
I have seen it. Yeah.
It's a really cool, weird movie. I love the movie. But yeah. They formed a really intense friendship and one of the girls was really poor. The other girl was very wealthy and the parents attempted to separate them. And in retaliation, Kate Winslet, basically, who is more alpha, decides to plan this murder for, you know, her friend's parents and killed her parents. So in this case, there was kind of a stronger, I guess, girl who had a lot of psychopathic tendencies that her best friend started to kind of emulate as young kids do.
Right.
And it's such an interesting case because it's this kind of nexus of bully antagonistic culture, young girl culture, popularity culture, millennial culture, and also just a really simple case of like going along with your friends and where as a, you know, because how they get tried changes how you look at this case because you're either talking about like a Menendez brother situation where they're young, but they're fucking crazy and we're going to throw the book at them for being like that.
But they're 18 to 20.
Yeah, but these girls are a lot younger.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just interesting.
So their maturity isn't developed. They were trying to appease the fictional Slender Man and gain permission to live in his mansion deep within the Nicolet National Forest.
I mean,
did they think this was real?
That's the big question. So, I mean, I think the thing that makes this sensitive. So let's add 20 years to all of these people. We're not even, the three of us aren't even having this conversation. They're crazy. They're guilty. We don't care. But the fact that they're so young is interesting. Yeah. I mean, it's horrifying, but it's also really interesting. And, you know, you want to say, you know, they're saying, oh, it's like a Slender Man. But I can't help but wonder anything was going to come along to trigger this young girl on some level, you know?
I mean, when a murder like this happens, it's like that person just kind of wanted to murder somebody and they were looking for an excuse.
Well, this one for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, So the other girl is the kind of the big question, I think, in this case more than anything. Because I think the main girl, we'll call her, the alpha, she was nuts and wanted to kill somebody. But I think what's making the case really compelling is how to handle this other young woman who's basic. Her parents are basically saying, you know, she's a nice kid. This never would have happened if she hadn't become friends with some other girl, which is interesting because I think all of us do know on some level that can be true.
Yeah.
I mean, it can be true. If you fall in with the wrong person, that's why I love The Craft, because I think The Craft is such a great movie.
It's very parallel.
About being a young woman what that feels like when you're in this intense, brief friendship and one of them is batshit crazy.
You remember when you were a young woman, Todd?
Yeah. I do remember. Todd. Yeah.
Yeah, I know you do.
My projectile tampons and.
Yeah. 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 You played target practice. It's like that scene in The Big Lebowski. So anyway, that's the other case. That's the media made me do it. The other cases we're about to cover are a lot less sophisticated.
Yeah, they're a lot less. Not that the Slender Man is that sophisticated. Where did Slender Man start? Do we know?
It's a video game.
I thought it was like an online message board thing.
I'm not cool enough. I don't know. All I know is that it's a video game.
I just thought it was an urban legend.
Well, I think it did start as some kind of an urban legend thing, and then somebody developed a video game. I don't know. Guys listening, do you know?
Let us know.
One of you two kill each other. We'll settle it this way.
Never.
What?
Well, Caitlin wouldn't kill me.
Carrie, just kill me.
I know. That's probably what's going to happen.
I'm not killing Carrie. It's just not going to happen. Yeah, okay.
I'll be honest.
So my favorite one is next. And that... Have you guys seen the Ben Affleck movie, The Town?
Love it.
How many times have you seen it, Adam?
At least five.
Five times? You've seen The Town 5 times.
It's kind of a long story, but yes.
Okay. In your 5 repeated viewings of this movie, was there a moment where you thought, hey, I'm going to put on a dumb mask and some nun habits and try to pull off this heist that they're
called hobbits.
No, I never once was inspired to rob Fenway Park.
Even after 5 times?
Not even after 5.
But it's fine. You didn't scale back a little bit? Because you don't even have to talk about Fenway Park. We could talk about like a bank that maybe you worked at for a while. No?
No.
Oh, interesting. Because there was this married couple.
Yes.
That I think only saw The Town once. I don't know that they saw it as many times as you did, Adam. But they thought it was a good idea. Basically, they just stole the costumes from The Town, but it was the costumes from The Town. And held up a bank that the husband had worked at briefly. Now, they got away initially with $120,000, but nobody gets away with $120,000.
No, you're not going to know how to spend it. That's where you're going to get caught.
Spoken like somebody who's
That's
watched
really
The Town
not
5 times.
Not that much, though. Like, if you have to think about it.
No,
like, even in 2011, like... possibly go to jail for.
There's so many weird, dumb left turns in even just this brief description of this crime.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, first of all, you're starting with The Town. So.
Yeah, that's a weird jumping off point for inspiration.
And it wasn't
Scorsese, though. He knows crime.
But I agree. I wish, though, Casey Affleck was in this. I'm a much bigger Casey Affleck fan.
Really looking forward to Manchester by the Sea. Haven't caught it yet, but...
Have you seen his Dunkin' Donuts sketch?
Yes! It's genius. I posted it on my Facebook. It is the funniest sketch I've ever seen.
The broken eye...
Cut your nails, for God's sake!
Oh, my God.
But he's like, I've got an app, and it has a broken phone screen. It reminded me of when my phone got ran over.
Yeah.
Well, our podcast.
That was a night. That was really a night. There's not really much to say about this case other than what it is, but...
Yeah, like what were they... And they obviously didn't get... They got away with it at first, right?
Yeah, but then they got caught. So, yeah. Last name Edwards. I cannot pronounce his first. Navashia?
Pussy Edwards.
Okay, fine. Pussy Edwards previously worked at the bank and was charged with robbery, according to the Chicago Sun-Times, and then... Her longtime boyfriend allegedly cased the bank the day of the robbery.
That's the wrong day to do it. I'm just going to put it out there. You want to do that recon.
So what's the conversation?
Probably months before.
At least a week if you can do it.
Because they're going to go back to the videos.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Months they won't go back. Typically, and I'll be honest, insider information.
Yeah, go for
most
it,
places won't keep video more than 90 days. So 91 and you're good, son.
Nice.
I just wanted to apologize for, I'm so, they weren't married. I assume that they were.
Caitlin.
I know. I just feel
also
bad.
Slash your wrist vertically and don't shoot yourself in the temple or hang yourself.
Yeah. So I just think there's just, I'm tickled by the fact that they picked the town. Like, I mean, at least.
I like it, though. I can.
At least Hinckley was, I mean, the taxi driver, that's a masterpiece. Like, at least.
Yeah, that's a great. Well, the town is good. The town's a good movie.
Yeah, but commit crime because of the town good?
Yeah, it's not.
That's what I'm saying.
It's not wreck your life good.
I mean, it would make more sense if it's like, well, I watched The Shining a bunch, and then I just, you know, like, oh, yeah, I get it. You like high art. Like, okay, and then you're a passionate criminal. Fine.
Yeah.
But the town?
Yeah, the town's a weird source for inspiration.
Well, and what's that bar conversation? Hey, man, you see the town? Yeah, I think so. Was that Ben Affleck? Oh, yeah, John Hamm. Yeah, I've seen that. It's a great movie.
John Hamm was in it?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
He's in everything.
I wish he was in everything.
Oh, get it?
Did you guys see...
I got it.
Wet Hot American Summer?
Yes.
Yes.
The sequel? Okay.
Go back to what you're talking about. So
I'm back. I just think that... I'm just imagining that conversation. It's just like all of his friends are like, the town?
Yeah.
They're like scrolling through Amazon. Like, no, hold on. Just before you tell me the rest of your robbery plan, let me just make sure I know what movie you're talking about. Like, just give me a second. It's just so stupid.
Yeah, it's a wacky plan.
All right. The next one I've titled Fight Club?
Question mark.
So this guy, Kyle Shaw, 17. This is like the most 17-year-old stupid thing I've ever heard in my life. But
I probably would have slept with him.
Okay.
Question mark dated. Probably hung out.
Okay, you hung out with like an ellipsis, like you never.
Like he was like, oh, like I don't want anything. And I'm like, okay, I'll still sleep with you.
Okay, yeah, I can see that. So little Shaw catches Fight Club, which by the way, as a sidebar, Fight Club is like this weird litmus test when you're talking to people. Like what they take away from Fight Club tells you a lot about the kind of person that they are. Because
yeah.
Fight Club is like Dave Matthews Band in a way, or like the Fish. Which is like some of the fans kind of ruined my enjoyment for any. I mean, actually, I don't enjoy Fish, but I do enjoy some Dave Matthews Band
I don't
songs.
Enjoy I Fight agree. Club. I thought it was a stupid
movie. I love
it. I really like that movie, but
I agree.
I find it a little strange.
Shame on you. I throw a pox on your apartment.
A pox?
Yeah.
Well, we haven't thrown a pox in a while.
I haven't.
Carrie?
I haven't.
I'm sorry.
Why would you do that?
Actually, I take it off because I'm here and I will be here again.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I threw a pox onto Jeff May's apartment / whatever
Love Nest.
Room he's renting in an apartment.
Room. A pox on your room.
Just a pox on Jeff May.
A pox on your room. Anyway, my point is that I just think it's really funny that this guy fixates on Fight Club, doesn't form a club, just builds a bomb out of fireworks, and decides to set it off when, this was my favorite part, police said that Shaw planned to launch his own, quote, Project Mayhem. Again, I just want to highlight, it's his own, literally his own Project Mayhem. Like, doesn't take away that the movie ends with, like, a very well-ordered... like meticulous militia of psychopaths. Just
right.
It's just him. Okay, so we plan to mimic Project Mayhem in, you know, the plan hatched by in Brad Pitt's Fight Club, which is like a weird way of saying it. The teenager's fondness for the movie and book was well known. A former classmate, this is the best pull quote, told the New York Times, quote, he wanted to watch the movie in our English class in the 11th grade. We were discussing existentialism in class, and he suggested we watch the movie as an example, but we ended up watching I Heart Huckabees.
You guys laugh. You know what? I would have rather watched The Fight Club.
Oh, I really love I Heart Huckabees, but I think...
Do you think it was the no talking about Fight Club rule that kept him from starting a group?
I was waiting for that like joke.
He talks about
Yeah, he's just, like, hey, man, how's it going?
Hey, I'm starting this. You want to get a drink?
How did they get out of this?
I hate Twilight, my favorite.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the next one.
Yeah.
guys, there's so many dumb crime. Like, see, we started really highbrow. We were talking about MK Ultra.
Yeah.
But I want to get away from all of that. Everybody talks about that stuff. This shit happens every day. Okay, so moving away from the one-man fight club project. Yeah, I just titled this section, I Hate Twilight. At least Hinckley was picking a good movie. So it's a short story. It's a 13-year-old girl was bitten by a male classmate. So when the vice principal... When the vice principal took this kid aside, he found out that this kid was just really into Twilight and had bit 10 other girls.
So as a 13-year-old, you're at like in 7th or 8th grade.
Like after one or two girls who don't then turn into vampires, don't you just stop?
When do they teach the scientific method? But what age?
As our school investigated and learned that the boy had bitten 10 in 1 month.
Hey.
Like, nobody, is it like rape? Or
yeah,
like,
did I don't want to talk about that. I'm so embarrassed.
I've got like bite shame.
I'm just imagining the librarian detective from that Seinfeld episode. Like, that's all. Well, think again. Like, I honestly, like, I don't know where that.
If you don't tell your story, he'll never go to justice.
Yeah.
He bit 9 more girls. I should have went. It was a first.
I mean, honestly, to get kind of dark, it's a pretty good test for, okay, you catch one kid raping one other kid. There's probably 10 other people that haven't said anything.
Yeah.
So this one, by the way, I'm the girl that's like, this asshole bit me. None of you want to be my friend anyway, so fuck this kid with my wheelie backpack.
Away. Yeah, it's with your wheelie backpack.
Fuck
yes,
this.
You, do.
Actually, you had a wheelie backpack?
Yeah, she did.
Oh, cute.
Well, it was prescribed.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess that's not
that
as cute.
That was the time it makes me laugh.
People laugh. She wouldn't.
No, it wasn't an evil laugh. No, I know. It makes me laugh every time. It comes from a good place.
It just
like the heart sign you did.
Yeah, theater of the mind again. Carrie made a heart sign over her own heart. I think sometimes Carrie's just amused that I ended up her friend. In general, because I know in high school we would not. I agree.
We probably wouldn't have been, but you ended up way cooler than I did. Oh, so now no. I'm like hanging on to like
no, we're
whatever I can.
My wheelie
Caitlin.
Tails.
Your wheelie tails.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
My JanSport backpack bungee corded to a luggage carrier that my cardiologist made me use.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah.
I'm on that one.
Listen to White Wine, True Crime. The last episode we posted, or the episode before with Kate Quigley, I tell the whole story. Yeah, because fucking Kate Quigley, who looks like a goddamn Playboy model, was like, I have an ugly duckling problem. Like,
I
fuck you. You have no idea.
Face. Yeah, I was like, you don't get it.
Oh, my God. I was so ugly that my math teacher gave me an It Gets Better speech. That's a true story.
Wow.
Yeah, it was bad. Anyway, so I didn't kill anybody. So fuck it. Anyway, so the final one, I titled this last section, The Matrix Defense.
Real.
It's real. Yeah. I guess it's not the last one. There's one more after this, but this is more of just an interesting phenomenon in criminal defense that I didn't know was happening. Carrie, Adam, did you know that people are claiming that they are committing crimes because they are either in or outside of the Matrix?
That sounds reasonable to me.
I had no idea.
This is the worst NPR show ever.
Which pill did you take, Carrie? The red pill or the blue? Oh.
Blue. Always blue is my favorite color. Mm. I don't know what it means.
See, this is the way my brain works. I remember that there's a red pill and a blue pill. And that's the thing that my brain's like, remember that part. But I never remember which pill's which.
Yeah, I'm sitting here trying to remember.
I don't remember.
I pick blue because it's my favorite color. The same reason, God, if whatever years
Are
ago.
Are we sure it's blue also?
We are sure. And
not green? Okay.
Nope. Definitely blue. It's the same reason that I voted for President Kerry, because I thought that there should be a President Kerry.
Well, there should be.
I don't know his platforms.
Well, you should be a president. You'd be a good one. You would be really good. And I'd be your Biden.
I dare say everybody.
Adam would be
your
press secretary.
Biden. I should be your Biden. Yeah. You should be the president. 100%. I'm just the face when I don't look like I'm feeding pigeons.
Adam's going to be our Allison Janney.
I'm down with that.
From our West Wing.
I agree. You'd be good in the cabinet.
One of the cases that...
The
mandatory happy
just
hours.
Just for the record, the blue pill is
thank you.
The one you take to just go
Make
back
yourself
to your
smaller.
To your regular life.
Oh.
And the red pill...
Cyanide.
Is the one Neo took.
Okay. Well, all of these people took the red pill on some at some
point. Did Neo die? I didn't watch the movie.
Neo?
That's a very long question to answer, actually.
Yeah, there's three movies.
And it's a whole Christ narrative, so it's very complicated.
Yeah, there's an animated.
I don't want to listen to
it. I know. See, if you throw something academic at Carrie, she's done. She's just.
I shut down.
She's over it. But back to the kind of stuff we like talking about. This one guy who pled the Matrix defense dismembered his landlady. He told the police that he acted after he had been, quote, sucked into the Matrix. The judge accepted his plea of not guilty by reason of insanity, which is solid, I guess.
Did he get off, though?
Yeah, he got off all over his stomach.
Thanks, Carrie.
Hey!
No, he served his time as a crazy person at that point. But I think at that, I think what it means is that he's not up for the death penalty, and he's not going to be put in a normal jail.
Yeah. And also Lee Malvo. You
talk about Lee.
Put in the notes. Lee Malvo, he's one half of possibly my least and most favorite murder duo of all time, which was the DC Sniper. Which
were
was
you
actually,
guys scared of this during the time? Because I was.
I was not in DC.
Yeah, I was in the Midwest.
No, but I lived in California. Still, I was in Hawaii and was like, where is he?
Yeah.
I forgot about this.
Because it's...
Sorry, I did forget about this because it was awash with these other...
I did think it was super cool, kind of. Like that there was just like...
Yeah, a renegade.
The randomness of it was really terrifying.
Back to your MK Ultra stuff.
But even then, gun crimes are really boring to me. Mm-hmm. Even then, when they would break into like TV shows and be like, hey, they shot someone at a Ponderosa. I was like, oh, you did that at a Ponderosa? That's so brutal. But then
I
was watching.
That's your way that you go?
Yeah.
Just
hungry as shit for subpar steak.
I guess I go to Ponderosa and then you die there?
In the parking lot. You don't even get your salad bar.
I have a very specific fear of dying in a parking lot.
Oh, she does actually. Yeah.
I don't have a lot of fears. I do not want to die in a parking lot.
No, that would be bad.
It's stupid.
Yeah.
No, it's reasonable. Every fear is, I think, reasonable.
No, but I mean, like, it'd be stupid to die. Like, that would be a stupid death.
No, the death itself would be stupid.
Yeah,
yes,
like,
I
what happened to Caitlin? She got shot in a parking lot? Like, it's just...
And then it was a Ponderosa, I'll be honest. I'm like, I'll go to the funeral, but that is not the way I thought she'd go.
I thought it would
have been heart one.
Real dark horse death.
Yeah.
Truly.
Yeah, for sure.
But anyway, go ahead, Adam.
So these murders were always really kind of interesting to me and really exciting, and they would cut in, and I'd be like, oh, yeah, it happened again. This is, I need
to
watch.
Yeah, well, we've all seen, like, The Fugitive or whatever.
But then I was watching the NFL playoffs.
Oh.
And they cut into an NFL playoff game, and I was like, this motherfucker's gone too far.
I'm washing my hands of this
Yeah,
man.
They need to catch him right now before the Super Bowl happens. And they did a couple days later. But I never knew this part, that Lee Boyd Malvo, who was the younger half, it was John Muhammad, I think, was the other guy. He was convicted, but he was also said to be obsessed with the world of blurred realities and mind control portrayed in The Matrix. In jail, he wrote Free Yourself of the Matrix in his cell.
Free your mind!
Which, is that even allowed? Can you just write shit on the walls of your cell?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think so. I think things happen in jail, Adam. Prison is not a place.
I don't know. We'll have to research that.
We should. All right.
I don't know if I believe you.
Oh, I'll write in. I'll ask a prisoner.
Write to Lee Malvo. Say you're writing
Actually,
from the Matrix.
No, do not get him exonerated.
No, okay.
Please write people that are at least we're on the fence with. Finally, we've got one last case, which is my favorite. This is where everything collapses in on itself. So the theme of this episode has been the media made me do it. But this guy, this Polish author, oh my God. Okay. This Polish pulp fiction writer was sentenced to 25 years in jail for his role in a grisly case of abduction, torture, and murder, a crime that he then used for the plot in his own book.
That seems silly.
What the fuck?
It's been done
is
before,
that?
I think.
Well, yeah. I mean, when I read that, I'm like, well, and I don't remember many of these cases. Could not be the first time. I mean, that is, to me, is like, come on, man.
It's exhausting. It's really exhausting.
That, right?
It's like why?
There was a guy in America, and I don't know exactly where, but he started writing a story, a book, God, maybe Michigan or something. Anyway, where he would do Craigslist ads and have people come over for sexual endeavors, and then he would kill them in his garage. Oh, and he would have like
a
kill room, like
Dexter.
Dexter.
Yeah.
And then he would hide them in potholes along his city, like in his city. He would like take the pothole up, not pothole.
Manhole cover stuff.
Manhole cover.
Oh. Yeah,
drainage.
And put them down there. So we did that multiple times.
Was that South Bend, Indiana?
I don't remember, to be honest.
Because I do remember a crime spree where a bunch of bodies got stuffed in manhole covers in South Bend.
Well, I was talking to my husband about this on the way up here. I was like laughing to myself and him. I was like, this guy was so stupid. And he's like, and then he reminded me, I completely forgot about this. One of the Menendez brothers did this. They wrote a screenplay called Friends.
A lot of them write screenplays. Yeah. They do.
And one of the characters is about a young rich guy that kills his parents.
Yeah.
I had completely forgotten about that component.
That's insane.
Yeah.
And stupid. So I guess in the Menendez brothers, which is one of my favorite cases ever. So I was very silly for
Lyle. Team Lyle.
Team Eric. But anyway, it's fine. It's where Carrie and I really, really different opinions. But
We won't fight over the same guys.
Which is nice. This is what makes us good friends.
That's true.
Which is why the alpha girl always sucked. Because she pitted the C girl against the beta girl, whichever one we can be. But the alpha girl always caused problems.
Why are you pitting me and Caitlin against each other, Carrie? Well,
what's that about, Carrie? No. Anyway.
Do you like Lyle or Eric?
I like Eric.
Okay, so you guys figure it out. I don't know. You guys, sloppy right, seconds for right. somebody.
Anyway, I just found it interesting that after all of my weird little moments of, you know, research, I found myself here with these artists that actually just went ahead and used their own. They were smoking their own shit, basically.
Getting high on their own supply.
As they should.
Super weird. Anyway.
Yeah, it'd be like if we murdered someone and then just podcasted about it.
A girl just killed herself on Facebook Live. A young girl, 12-year-old girl. Yeah.
Oh,
how?
She hung herself.
Shut up.
Yeah. The police couldn't figure out. I don't know if the... I mean, obviously,
wait,
I didn't...
Wait, so she knew how to tie a noose?
Yeah.
At 12? Wow.
I mean, you can fashion it. I mean, it's probably not like the most professional noose.
That's where if I tried to hang myself, it would go completely awry.
Yeah.
I would just do like I'm tying my shoes.
Right.
Right undone.
Keith Carey actually has a very funny joke, and he's on Roast Battle. He's actually done very well for himself, but he's overweight, and he talks about him trying to commit suicide, and he goes, I try to hang myself in my closet, but I'm so fat that like it broke. And it was just like, so really? Like, are you fucking kidding me, God? So like sad. Anything else?
But yeah, this girl posted that somebody in her family had been sexually abusing her and nobody was doing anything about it. So
like they knew. Family knew.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just really sad. But
it's very sad.
I think we'll probably see a lot of that with young kids. I mean, there were two or three kids that killed themselves.
We need to talk about Audrey and Daisy next time.
Sure. What?
Why does that sound so familiar?
It is a documentary on Netflix.
Oh, about the two bullied girls. Yeah.
And there's many people who are bullied on the internet and then kill themselves, because when you're in your teenage years, I mean, that's everything. So you don't have the emotional faculties, you don't have the maturity faculties to like deal with it.
I gotta be honest, I was bullied hardcore and I just didn't care. Like I really was. It's funny to like hear these national anti-bullying campaigns and people saying like, oh, they say these things and these things. And I'm like, uh-huh. Yeah.
Check.
And I'm not saying it doesn't affect people. I just, maybe I had enough trauma at home that it just kind of like balanced out and I just turned to television. Maybe that's what happened.
TV's so
saved
good,
my life.
TV's not bad.
Watch TV, kids.
Watch more television. TV.
All right. So thank you guys so much for listening. This was a really fun time.
This was a fun time.
Yeah.
This was a good episode.
This was a good episode. We learned about things. I still think my favorite one is The Town. That's my favorite
one. Yeah, that one's nuts. Like
I do like that movie.
That's like saying like...
Of all the crime movies, like why not
exactly.
Why not watch Fargo and go, oh, I could kill someone for insurance money.
Exactly.
But no, they're like, I could rob a baseball stadium. Well, I mean, I know
that's
a bank.
That's my favorite part is that they did it. They just robbed a bank and they kept the costumes. Like, what? That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of.
Well, you reuse those. Halloween comes around.
I mean, fuck. I don't know. Hashtag the town fail.
Hashtag do it.
I don't think it fails. I think Geely failed.
Carrie is going to just defend the underdog.
Let's recreate the crime in Geely.
You want to remake the movie? Or
you know who I have a missed call from? I have a missed call from Joan Renner, who was letting me know she got home okay.
Oh.
That's nice. That's a good way to end of the night.
Yeah, that is good. Yeah, we should get out of here. Do we have anything to plug?
Your butt.
Whoa.
Wow. Controversial.
Right? We will be releasing our actual review of the Slender Man documentary next week from when this airs. Nice. So yeah, we're gonna watch that, and we'll have way more to talk about the mean girl dynamic, because I think it's like everything in this case. So there's a thing that we're gonna plug for that, and also listen to this show.
Yeah, listen to this
show. I like this show too. Pretty Scary Boo.
Pretty scary boo.
And when I say our show, I mean White Wine True Crime, which you can find on iTunes or on Facebook or on Twitter at WWT Crime, Instagram at WWT Crime.
For both of these shows, we only accept 5-star reviews.
5-star reviews on iTunes for Pretty Scary and White Wine True Crime, please.
5 stars, please.
Pretty Scary Boo.
What the hell was that? Why did I just lose my voice?
I don't know. We're done now. I don't know. This is how we all die.
Yeah, this is how we all die. All right. Say goodbye, Carrie.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Caitlin.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you. I'm going to go to bed.